Hi everyone, this is Dr. Adam Weiner for the Uro-Onc Minute. These are quick insights from the experts in urologic oncology. We're continuing our series at EAU Congress 2026. I'm very excited to introduce our next guest. This is Alexander Light from Imperial College. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. So today our topic, very interesting one in urology. We're talking about a salvage treatment for prostate cancer after recurrence from radiation therapy. So you had a wonderful publication on this topic that I want to get into. So why don't you hit things off?
So at Imperial College, certainly in London, we focus a lot on salvage focal therapy for patients who developed localized radiorecurrent disease after previous radiotherapy. And we've been doing this for a number of years. And we know that out there as well, surgeons have also been doing salvage radical prostatectomy for a number of years as well. Obviously, that's an excellent treatment. It does have some, it's not the best treatment for some patients, but we thought salvage focal therapy is a good option also, a potentially good alternative. So the aim of our paper really, because there was no comparative data, was to take some of our experiences that we had in the UK, and fortunately, we were fortunate enough to collaborate with some colleagues from, led by Giancarlo Mara in Italy and an international group, and compare some of our data against theirs. And we found ultimately that over the long term, over 10 years, the cancer-specific survival for both were excellent, really. No huge differences. And as you'd expect, salvage focal therapy was a little bit less morbid. And so we thought this was quite promising. We think that salvage focal therapy could be a good alternative for patients instead of radical prostatectomy, or certainly for patients who are not fit or not willing to, or not even offered salvage radical prostatectomy, could be their only option in terms of localized retreatment.
Yeah, wonderful. And again, an important study, an important component of that was how you were able to get multi-center data contributed to this. And as you know, historically, really the only non-definitive treatment option for these patients was cryoablation, which had the most data going into this. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the type of therapy that you offered for those patients or who was included in the study?
Sure. So cryotherapy has been around for, I think, a number of decades now. Typically, it was done whole gland. And certainly, we still do some whole gland salvage cases. But our real focus, certainly in this study and our main bulk of practice with these radiorecurrent cases, is the focal treatment of them. So obviously not every patient is going to be suitable for focal therapy, but for patients who we've done an MRI on, done PET CT on, or other whole body imaging on, and we've following biopsies confirmed that their cancer is suitable for focal therapy, that's what we were focusing on. So in this study at least, and certainly in our practice in the UK, we tend to use HIFU, so high intensity focused ultrasound, and cryotherapy complementarily, and the aim is to treat essentially just the area of cancer within the prostate with a margin, and trying to spare as much remnant prostate or healthy tissue as we can to try and reduce some of that morbidity, in the consideration that the prostate has already been irradiated. These are slightly older, potentially more comorbid patients than the average, patient being diagnosed in the, primary setting.
And that's a really great point, because it gets into how you would routinely even work up or evaluate and plan for someone who is probably getting primary focal therapy, which should be done within the context of a clinical trial, as is established by most guidelines. But you do need to have a good mapping biopsy, a good MRI, get a good assurance that the only clinically significant disease is where you're going to direct the therapy. Can you tell us a little bit about how the technique for the practicing urologist, how it might differ in the salvage setting versus the primary setting?
Sure. Do you mean the diagnostics or the kind of the...
How about the actual practical application? Yeah.
I think you have to go quite gently in these patients. As I said, they've had irradiation. The tissues are quite friable. So we tend to, for example, use slightly lower energy settings initially, go a bit slower. For HIFU, for example, we typically will do 3 blocks of treatment in the primary setting. In the salvage setting, tends to do 2. The one thing we're obviously very careful to avoid is a rectal fistula. So we don't go treat quite as aggressively as in the primary setting for that reason.
And that's good to know, especially in understanding that the long-term clinical outcomes, at least in your publication and those centers' experience, was excellent. So not only do you know that you can do a little bit less to improve the safety, but it clearly was efficacious as well.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, not every patient is going to be suitable for salvage focal therapy. And we do some whole gland cases, and salvage radical prostatectomy obviously is an excellent treatment. But obviously those are not going to be suitable for everyone. And our hope with salvage focal therapy is that we can open the door up, in terms of treatment for more patients who wouldn't be eligible for or wouldn't be willing to undergo prostatectomy, for example.
And thank you for that. And as you also know, what is emerging, or there's been great data presented recently or within the past couple of years on the use of re-irradiation in the salvage setting. So that was not something that was compared in your study, but certainly it's of growing interest with good sound data behind it. But why don't you tell us a little bit about how that might compare?
It's certainly very interesting. I think in the UK, I'll be honest, I'm not too sure about what experience we have in the UK with re-irradiation. I do know there was a trial in the, I think, in the north of England that failed to recruit randomizing between HDR and external beam re-irradiation. But as you say, there's been some really excellent data with that. And when we first set out to do the study a few years ago, didn't have so much of that data available. I think since we published this study, we are trying to reach out to some groups to perhaps offer to do further comparisons with them. I think re-irradiation seems like a sound idea. We just need to compare and see how it compares to the other treatments.
And then wonderful, because you already have the data, right? You have data on a lot of patients who got some kind of salvage treatment. So surely the ball's in your court to get collaborators to add more data and then add more comparisons. So I think that's excellent that you guys are working towards that.
Yeah, we have these fantastic registries in the UK, which we run out of Imperial, the Heat and Ice registries. We upload patients to as part of the UK requirements for these treatments. You have to follow these patients up and audit your outcomes. So also doubles up as a fantastic data source. So watch this space. As the years go by, those patients get longer follow-up. We have more patients to add to it. So it'll be really interesting to see how the data evolves over time.
Absolutely. Anything else we can look forward to in this space? Or what are you most excited about?
It's very, very interesting. I think, a lot of this, as with everything in prostate cancer, you only get the results 10 years later a lot of the time. So a lot of these patients, and certainly it has been pointed out that, these are patients kind of before the PSMA PET era, which we fully acknowledge. And we've seen some really exciting things with PSMA PET, certainly in the, the recurrent setting of radiotherapy. I think it'd be really interesting to see, and it's going to be hard to tease it out, but really interesting to see how kind of the average patient that gets treated changes over time, and certainly how their outcomes change with it as we kind of change how they're selected. I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, we have tools at our disposal now that weren't really available for all the patients in your cohort. Got to see how that applies, changes the outcomes. I completely agree. Well, Dr. Alexander Light, it was wonderful having you on the show. I really appreciate your insights. Thank you for coming on to the Euro-Onc Minute.
Thank you very much for having me, Adam. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.